Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. Well, the festive season is almost upon us, but I wanted to give you a quick update on the situation with FTX because there's been a number of developments over the course of the last few days that I think are really interesting and I wanted to bring you up to speed on. The first is that Sam Bankman-Fried has now been extradited from his Bahamas prison back to the USA, so I'll give you a full update on that situation. We'll then talk about his bail application in the US. He was refused bail in the Bahamas originally, but he's now been given bail in the US. And I'll give you an update on how much the bail has been set at, because it's an eye-watering, record-breaking amount. I'll then give you a full update on what's happening with Caroline Ellison and Gary Wong, because they've now been apprehended as well. And then I'll provide you with some details on the costs of the bankruptcy of FTX, because a lot of people are earning a huge amount of cash from this bankruptcy. Not the customers, not the investors, but all of the people who are involved. So I'll give you some details on that. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think's likely to happen over the course of the next few weeks and months on this trial. So before we get started on that, very quickly, if I could ask you for a thumbs up and to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you would like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find all of the usual links. So as you'll be aware, if you've been following the channel, Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested on Monday the 12th of December as a result of charges that were applied against him by the USA. Initially, he was taken to Fox Hill Prison, although his lawyers applied for bail, and that was refused because he was considered to be a flight risk. Now, as I reported at the time, Fox Hill Prison doesn't have a very good reputation. It's overcrowded, and in a report that was put together by the US authorities in 2021, it was officially recorded as being overcrowded, having substandard facilities, and being overrun with rodents and maggots. Now, initially, it was reported that Sam Bankman-Fried intended to fight extradition to the USA, that he would rather go through the legal process in the Bahamas. However, after spending a few days in Fox Hill Prison, he changed his mind, and on Wednesday, the 21st of December, he was officially extradited back to the USA and appeared in front of a judge in New York on Thursday, the 22nd of December, charged with multiple counts of fraud. His lawyers made a formal application for bail, and US Magistrate Judge Gabriel Gorenstein agreed to his release on a $250 million bail bond package. In granting his pretrial release, Gorenstein said Bankman-Fried had achieved sufficient notoriety that it would be impossible for him to engage in further financial schemes or to hide without being recognised. Nicholas Roos, a prosecutor, told Gorenstein that the bail package would require Bankman-Fried to surrender his passport and remain in home confinement at his parents' home in Palo Alto, California. He would also be required to undergo regular mental health treatment and evaluation. Roos said that while Bankman-Fried had carried out a fraud of epic proportions, he had no history of flight and his financial assets had reduced significantly. Bankman-Fried's defense lawyer, Mark Cohen, said he agreed with the prosecutor's proposed bail conditions. He noted that Bankman-Fried's parents, both Stanford Law School professors, would co-sign the bond and post the equity in their home as assurance for his return to court. Both parents appeared at the hearing. Wearing leg restraints, Bankman-Fried sat flanked by his lawyers and nodded when the judge informed him that if he fails to appear in court, a warrant would be issued for his arrest. Gorenstein said conditions also included electronic monitoring via a device to be fitted before he left court and a ban on opening new lines of credit or businesses. Sam Bankman-Fried spoke only when asked by Gorenstein whether he understood the conditions of his release and that he could be charged with additional crime if he fails to show up at court. "Yes, I do," he replied. So Sam Bankman-Fried has been released from jail on a $250 million bail package. So what does this actually mean? Well, Sam Bankman-Fried's parents have guaranteed the courts that he will not abscond. So they've signed documents that in the event that he does disappear, they will be on the hook for $250 million. Now, we don't know the full details, but in all likelihood, Sam Bankman-Fried's parents don't have $250 million in spare cash. So they probably haven't handed that amount of money over to the courts. And in most situations like this, the people involved will use what's known as a bail bondsman. So this is a third party, really like an insurance company, that can provide some paperwork to the courts that says, in the event of that individual disappearing, then they will be able to make a claim against those bail bondsmen. And the bail bondsman will take full security over all of your assets. So essentially what we've got here is an arrangement whereby Sam Bankman-Fried's parents have put everything that they own, their house, their savings, all of their accounts, everything on the line, stating that he will not disappear. If he decides to do a runner, if he does do a midnight flit and just disappears in the middle of the night, then both of them will be made bankrupt one way or another. Either the courts will go after them directly if they've given a guarantee directly to the courts, or if they've used the bail bondsman, then the bail bondsman will have to pay up and then they will come after the Bankman-Frieds and take all of their assets. So this is obviously a massive financial risk. And this whole situation must be absolutely horrific and horribly embarrassing for Joseph Bankman and Barbara Fried, Sam Bankman-Fried's parents, because these are both professors at Stanford University. So they're really well-regarded individuals. And up until a couple of months ago, their son was a superstar billionaire crypto guy. He was an absolute legend in his field. So in a very short space of time, these two individuals have gone from being ultra-proud, wealthy parents with one of the most famous sons in the world to now being parents of a guy who's accused of one of the biggest crimes in US history, and they could potentially go bankrupt if he decides to do a runner. Now, the terms that Sam Bankman-Fried has been released upon are that he's going to have to stay at his parents' home for the duration of his bail period. And this is likely to run for at least 12 to 18 months because the court case is going to take a long period of time to put together. All of the information is actually still being put together by John Ray in terms of the details of what's going on at FTX. That's going to take at least another 6 to 12 months to work itself out. Plus, all of the fraud charges and all of the different aspects of this case will be multifaceted. So it'll take a long time for all of the prosecutors to pull everything together. So it's likely that Sam Bankman-Fried is going to be returning to his family home bedroom for the next 18 months. And I'm pretty sure his mum and dad will have him grounded for that whole period. In fact, it's likely that he'll be wearing some form of ankle bracelet that would set off an alarm if he leaves the perimeter of the house. So he's going to be stuck at home for the next 18 months. He's not allowed to get involved in any sort of business to open any accounts, so he can't do any crypto trading. He won't be appearing on TV shows like he has been doing over the last month or so. This is going to be a fairly grim time, and I'm sure Mr. Bankman and Mrs. Fried will not be very happy with their son, and they will make sure that he doesn't try and do a runner, because if he does, then they will be going bankrupt. Now, $250 million is an absolutely massive bail figure. This is actually the third largest in US history. And if we compare this amount to two recent cases in US financial fraud history, Elizabeth Holmes' bail was set at $500,000. So that is a drop in the ocean compared to $250 million. And Bernie Madoff's bail was set at $10 million, but that was back in 2008. But even so, even if you're accounting for inflation over the last 14 years, $250 million is significantly greater than today's equivalent of $10 million from 2008. But there have actually been some larger bail figures set, and I thought it was worth having a quick look at that just for the amusement value. The only other person in US history that's had bail set at $250 million was also involved in financial fraud and was a guy called Michael Milken, who back in the 80s was the highest paid man on Wall Street, who earned over $1 billion through the creation of the high yield bond markets. Milken was indicted for racketeering and securities fraud in 1989. In an insider trading investigation. And because of his extreme high net worth, he was considered a major flight risk, and so bail was set at $250 million. Milken was later sentenced to 10 years in prison, fined $600 million, and permanently barred from the securities industry by the Securities and Exchange Commission. His sentence was later reduced to 2 years for cooperating with testimony against his former colleagues and for good behavior. And on February the 18th, 2020, Donald Trump granted a full pardon to Milken. The second highest bail figure in the USA of $1 billion was set for an individual called Kim Freeman. Freeman was originally arrested for running two massage parlors that were actually brothels. Despite the fact that she had no prior criminal record and was not high profile, she had strong ties to Asia and was therefore considered to be a flight risk. The district attorney argued that she would flee at the first chance, and the judge agreed and subsequently set bail at $1 billion. And it has subsequently been claimed that this breached the Eighth Amendment in the USA. Not surprisingly, Freeman didn't have access to this sort of capital and remained behind bars until her court date. But the prize for the highest bail ever set in US history goes to Robert Durst, who had bail set at $3 billion. Robert Durst was the eldest son of real estate magnate Seymour Durst and was therefore a highly wealthy individual. In 2003, he was charged with the murder of his wife and given $1 billion bail, which he posted. He then skipped bail but was subsequently rearrested. And due to the fact that he'd already absconded once, the judge set the new bail figure at $3 billion. Further to the video I posted recently talking about the disappearance of Caroline Ellison, Gary Wong and Nishad Singh, it's now been confirmed that both Caroline Ellison and Gary Wong have been arrested and charged with fraudulent activity and are both now assisting the authorities in the FTX case.
The Southern District of New York has filed charges against Caroline Ellison, the former CEO of Alameda Research, and Gary Wong, a co-founder of FTX, in connection with their roles in the frauds that contributed to FTX's collapse. Both Ms. Ellison and Mr. Wong have pled guilty to those charges, and they are both cooperating with the Southern District of New York. Let me reiterate a call that I made last week. If you participated in misconduct at FTX or Alameda, now is the time to get ahead of it. We are moving quickly, and our patience is not eternal.
It's been reported that bail has been agreed at $250,000 for each, and they've now been released pending their criminal cases. No details have yet been released about the whereabouts of Nishad Singh, who's the former chief engineer, and as I discussed in a previous video, it's been reported that Singh was involved in changing the code of the systems at FTX to enable Alameda to have unlimited access to customer funds. Now, when a company files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, the whole concept is to protect the assets within the business to try to make sure that it either can continue as a going concern, or if you're breaking the company up, that you can maximize the return and give back as much capital as possible to the investors and the customers. However, one of the problems with a bankruptcy is that they become very expensive. You have to bring in lots of experts who charge large amounts of money. And this can mean that in many cases, the costs of the bankruptcy can actually exceed the value of the business, and customers and investors actually end up getting nothing. And some of the costs of the FTX bankruptcy have now been released. John Ray, who's the new chief executive and is a bankruptcy expert, having previously been involved with Enron and a variety of other cases, is being paid $1,300 per hour for his time on this case. But that figure actually looks quite cheap compared to what the lawyers are being paid. New York-based law firm Sullivan & Cromwell is representing FTX in its Chapter 11 case and guiding its efforts to return assets to customers. Before FTX's bankruptcy, Sullivan & Cromwell represented the company in US regulatory inquiries and on potential acquisitions, including its proposed acquisition of bankrupt crypto lender Voyager Digital. The firm was paid $8.56 million for that pre-bankruptcy legal work. FTX recently sought approval from a Delaware judge to pay the firm's partners and special counsel between $1,575 and $2,165 per hour for their work, which means that at the top rate of $2,165 per hour, an 8-hour day will cost $17,320. And if the partner was to work on this case full-time for a whole year, their individual cost would be $4.5 million. So you may be sitting there thinking that this is daylight robbery, but these guys are lawyers and all of this is entirely legal. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video just to give you an update, really, on what's happening with Sam Bankman-Fried, Caroline Ellison, Gary Wang, and the case for FTX. And as you can see, things are moving forward. Three of the four key individuals at FTX have now been arrested and charged, and their cases are pending. Nishad Singh remains missing, but I am absolutely sure that at some point over the course of the next few weeks, he will also be apprehended. He'll be invited in for questioning, and I think it's very likely that he'll also be charged with some sort of fraud. Now, this case isn't likely to come to court until 2024, so all three of these individuals are going to be on bail for a very long time, and I'm absolutely sure that the people who've signed those bail documents will be keeping a very close eye on them. Sam Bankman-Fried will be under house arrest with the authorities, but he'll also be grounded by his mum and dad, making sure that he doesn't disappear, because if he does, then they are going to be made bankrupt, and potentially they could end up behind bars if they haven't got enough money to pay for his bail. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments on this story. If you've enjoyed today's video, please give me a thumbs up, and thank you so much for watching all the way through to the end.